Red, 89.3.
And then just keep the vibe going.
Namibia's heart and soul.
It is 8:30 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. We appreciate it. The NSK and Shekwan is on your radio. Now, we did tell you that we'll have a conversation regarding MMA. Well, the upcoming One Africa EFC Fight Night promises to be an electrifying event showcasing top-tier mixed martial arts MMA talent from across the continent. The Extreme Fighting Championships EFC, established in 2009, is Africa's premier MMA promotion, hosting 10 live events annually and featuring over 120 athletes from various countries. Now, one of the event's main highlights is the interim featherweight title fight, where South Africa's Rudy Roots, I'll get the right pronunciation now in a bit, will defend his belt against Ken Sekeletu. Now, joining us for a conversation about that and so much more, Carlos De Sousa, a leading figure in Namibia's MMA scene, serving as coach and mentor to many aspiring fighters. He is the owner of Hybrid Fitness Center and the founder of the Mixed Martial Arts Federation of Namibia. With over 30 years of experience, Carlos is a multiple African champion and a two-time world champion with victories in 1992 as well as 1995. Carlos, my good sir.
Hey, morning. How you doing?
We're good. It's good to have you here once again. Exciting times, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an amazing time, you know, especially with One Africa putting this promotion on Thursday night. Oh, it's a good... You're just promoting the sport. I'm loving it.
And you've come a long way, you know, just with trying to get the MMA message out there. And here we have a big broadcast channel like that backing you up.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing that, you know, it's about time, to be honest. But it's amazing. It's time to get the word out there. Namibians know what, you know what. And the best part about it is, the talent is there.
Yeah.
We just need to expose it.
Look at what Vea did over the weekend.
Oh, man. Yeah. I see he still uses his master's or his instructor's words. It's not checkers, it's chess game.
CNC. Well, let's talk about that journey, man, Carlos. Let's talk about that journey into MMA and what transpired, or actually what inspired you, that's it, to become a coach.
You're born with it. It's just one of those things where you have it or you don't have it.
Yeah.
It's simple as that. You are born with it. I mean, there's some guys that are... I'll give you an example, like Jose Mourinho. Not a great soccer player, but an amazing coach.
Yeah.
I've been blessed on both sides of the world, where I'm... What you call it? I did it.
I mean, you've won some championships.
Yeah, no, I've put some names on there. I've put some names. And I've taken names. Let's put it that way. But I just love it. I just love watching the kids grow. And some of these kids walk into my dojo or my gym or my club, whatever how you want to call it, and they walk in there all like scared and everything. And 2 years, 1 year down the line, this guy is holding gold medals in their hands.
That's what I'm talking about.
And for me, that's how I live. That's what makes me live. Mm. If you know what I mean. That's, you know, I call it passion. I mean, the other day somebody tried to correct me, heart and all that kind of story. If you got heart, it'll get you there. If you got talent, it'll get you there. But if you got passion, man,
that'll take you far, isn't it?
It'll take you to the ends of worlds, my man.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Speaking of these ladies that, you know, grow up in your, you call it a dojo, right?
Yeah, dojo, yeah.
Okay. How has the MMA scene in the Land of the Brave evolved since you started? And what role has the Hybrid Fitness Center played in this development?
Where do I start? You know, when I opened the first gym in Avis, it was actually opened in a water resort next to Eagles restaurant there.
Okay.
Just
there, right?
Wow. Right there, yeah. I still got photos on my website about it. I did an amazing thing there.
Yeah.
Obviously, what they did to me at that time, it is what it is. But then we all, you know, I went from coaching in a garage, like literally in the back of a yard in a garage. You know, the likes of Vaya Hinda, Arno, all these guys, all the kind of story. And that's where they started. Vaya had a stand-up already. We had no ground game at all. Some of the guys that were there also all had stand-up. Arno was a good boxing, amateur boxer. He had no ground game at all. But, I mean, they developed. I mean, these guys are from where... Then I moved into breweries. We built something there.
Yeah.
And it just exploded. And then when I was in breweries, and I always said, you know what? It's getting too small for me. I mean, this is 500 square meters. Not worth it. So obviously we looked out, went out there, tried to get investments, trying to get all the kind of story back and forth, up in front. And then boom, I'm at Hybrid Fitness, 1,500 square meters.
That's what I'm talking about. What are some of the challenges fighters face? And how do you help them overcome these obstacles?
It's the emotions. Mm. They question them. They're always questioning themselves, you know. Obviously, I studied the opponents, and obviously they can't hesitate, especially with social media. They go into social media and they check how the guy's fighting. So the emotions, they start questioning themselves. Yeah, am I that good? Can I really beat them? You know, those are the emotions. Then all the other emotions, you know, parents, kids, you know.
Finances, maybe even.
Even finances, you know, everything starts, everything falls in place. But it's, I always say, guys, if there's a will, there's a way. Mm. It's simple as that. And I show them, if there's a will, there's a way. And I've proven it on several occasions. I've taken guys to world championships that didn't even have a cent to their name. So, I mean, just the etiquette to the world championships in Uzbekistan, Takistan was 25K.
Oh, my goodness.
That was just a ticket.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the entry fees are ridiculous, I must be honest. I mean, it's $650 per athlete to enter in the worlds. So, but we overcome it. Mm. We make a plan of it. I speak to the president, Kirith Brown. I say, "Guy, listen, yeah, come on. We're a developing country. Give us half price. Get us a better price.
Maybe you have, you know, like rugby, they have different tiers. You know, so maybe a different tier for us for developing countries.
Yes, yes. They're looking into it. You know, you understand? They're looking into it. Luckily, our population is not big. Mm-hmm. So they give us that opportunity and that standard. So we're, like now, the African Games are happening on the 5th until the 12th in May in Luanda. It's obviously $100 to join the thing. So I've already made approaches and I've negotiated with them and all that kind of story. I might be getting it for free.
Ah, that's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's part of being a coach also.
Yeah.
It's at the moment it's quite difficult because I'm doing coach managing.
And managing.
And you know, getting the sport out there and all kind of story. But I'm loving it. I'm loving every minute of it.
Talk to us about the standout fighters that you've coached and their achievement. I mean, you know the Veer story.
Yes.
Funny enough, you say he didn't have any ground game.
Not at all.
And the submission. What's a ground game?
It's ground.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. When he started with me, he didn't have no ground game at all. Mm. He didn't even know what it was an armbar or an anaconda or any of those other jokes. Now... Yeah, he's at a level where he can probably be grading around easily, purple belt, easy.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's easy. And he should be at that level already. Mm. But yes. I've had, I'll give you an example. I've had Damien. Mm. Damien is now 2 times African champion, back to back.
That is incredible, man.
Damien Muller. I mean, I think he's about 157, 152.
Is he that short?
He's that short.
Never realized.
No, he's short. He's tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's tiny. He's really.
But he's got that pit bull spirit.
Man, he's the honey badger. Mm. Through and through. I mean, you incredible guy. And it's funny with that gentleman is, I always get emotional with him because every time, like, when he won his first Worlds, his grandmother passed away and his father kept it back from him because he was competing.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, his father told me, I knew about it. My emotions were running high. He didn't know what was going on. And that happened in Angola. And I just after the fight, I said, listen, after you won the title, you need to speak to your dad.
Yesterday.
And obviously, they wouldn't let him go because obviously he had to do the drug testing and all that kind of story. Because once you win the gold medal, the anti-doping people, they hold on you.
Yeah.
You can't leave their side until you've done your tests. So he couldn't get to the phone and he was getting out of hand. And then eventually he started asking, coach, what is it? Shimbra, I don't want to break that news to you. You got to do it.
It's not my place.
It's not my place. You know what I mean? So obviously he got all of that whole thing got all of his dad and his dad in. Sure. It was just emotional for him again.
Hmm.
This time in last year when he won it in Namibia, his grandfather was admitted to ICU.
Yesterday. Oh,
his father standing in the stand, his brother standing in the stand and all that kind of story. I'm looking at them and they're looking at me and I'm like, not again, bro. Come on. And I obviously just got the nod.
Mm.
And I'm like, God damn, man. And if you go see the photos that we have, it got emotional. And once again, not my place. Try to control my emotions and all that kind of story.
Yeah.
I think Damien picked it up. I must be honest, because we're starting to get to know each other quite well. He picked it up, and then, yeah, he went out, he came out, and says, "What's up, coaches?" Same call, my brother. Go talk to your dad.
Yeah.
Talk to your dad. And obviously, it was emotional. Luckily, the old man survived. He came through and all the kind of story. But he's in and out of hospital every time and again. I want him to compete again now in African Games. But there's a lot of emotions at the moment between that. I know he'll pull through. He'll come through it, and he'll do it. And there's it. It'll be his third time that he's going for the medal. Will be the only Namibian ever to do that.
That's what I'm talking about. And you really get, but one a person grows attached, man. Like you grow through. It's a relationship.
They're my kids.
Yeah,
they're like my kids.
Literally at this point.
They're kids. I know all their problems. There is nothing. Some of these kids walk up to me and they talk to me about things like I'm like, whoa. Mm. Okay. I know things about kids that their parents don't even know about.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Yeah. They talk to me about things that happens at their home and they don't want to tell their parents, but they're telling me. You know, obviously I'm just trying to guide them. That, you know what? Do this. You know,
of course, yeah.
Dad and mom is going through a bit of a this and that, but you know, sort it out. Just...
That's
bite the
what
bullet.
I'm talking about, man. You're doing an incredible job, my good sir, you know.
Thanks, man.
I mean, speaking of which, we will see it now with the One Africa EFC Fight Night. Tell us about the impact, the growth of MMA in Namibia and Africa as a whole, especially now with events like One Africa EFC Fight Night.
Namibia, it's been quite slow, you must understand. It's quite slow because it's difficult to get coaches up. Out there,
but we are out here loving Adesanyas and the Duplessis, and we out here glorifying all this.
100%. It's pretty much I'm competing against the likes of boxing, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay, all
boxing,
right,
boxing is
very popular here.
Very, very popular. Yeah. And it's out there. And I'm competing in the likes of guys that are doing kickboxing and karate and all those other things. But they get to a certain stage. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
The nice thing is they really, when they come to me, they have some sort of background. So it's easy to change those people and teach them the ground games and all that kind of story.
Yeah.
But we're getting there. For a big country and a small population that we are, we're getting there. You know? I'm planning on opening another three through Namibia.
Okay.
I had a bit of a hump this year. But I'm dealing with it. And once that's sorted out, and it won't stop me.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to put another three clubs, exactly like hybrid, through Namibia, with the likes of the coaches, my Kalitin, even if I have to hire coaches from outside and bring them in. And that will have to go down that road for now. But it's just to develop the things. I mean, look at Vaya and Gerald. They've moved on. They've opened their own club, all the kind of stories. They have my blessings.
You know, they
have my blessings. It's a good thing. It's good for the sport.
Yeah, of course. You know, let the kids fly.
100%. 100%. I've got Leslie in Walvis Bay also that's doing also that type of story.
Uh-huh.
Moving on. It's growing. It's going from, let's say, from where I was in the back of a garage.
The garage, yeah.
To where we are now.
Come on. With the whole broadcaster on your team now.
Oh, man. Good credit where credit is due. You know what I mean?
Well, let's talk about this upcoming main event. And please help me with the pronunciation.
Sure.
Rudy Roots?
Rudy Roots, yeah.
Okay. And Ken Segeletu?
Segeletu, yes.
Talk to us about this main event.
I think Rudy's got it. I've had an athlete from Namibia that competed against him at Fight Star, Herman Steyn. Herman Steyn is actually one of the top and the leading guys.
Okay.
He had 9-1 fights, amateur fights. He fought most of his fights at Fight Star, amateur fights, yeah. Obviously, he did some rugby, hurt his knee, and then that stopped his career. So we know Rudy Roots. I know his coaches. I know how it works and all that kind of story. Yes, I do know the other gentleman also. And where he's coming from and all that kind of story. But I think Rudy Roots has definitely got the tools and the things to finish it.
Who's got the ground game? Who's got the upper game in terms of strikes and so on?
Strikes, Rudy, he's there, but his ground game, he comes from a back wrestling, background wrestling. Uh-huh. His dad's been an ex-wrestler for many, many, many years.
So he will most likely try and pin him down.
Definitely.
And annoy him and drain Ken's energy.
100%. 100%. Mm. Ken will obviously try and keep it standing because that's where his strength is at all times. And that's where he is. That's if he wants to play that game. You know, nowadays, you've got to be an all-rounder.
You've got to be an all-rounder. Yes,
so you can't get into that cage with one...
With one mindset.
One art. You can't go in there and think you're a boxer and you're going to go get it. Because if I, as a coach, know you've got a boxing background, I'm going to pin you down. I'm just going to take you down. I'm going to teach my athlete to pin you down and keep you down and frustrate you.
And stay within him, within the circle. To avoid the striking distance.
100%. It's very difficult to think. The thing about pro is you're allowed to use elbows. Amateurs, you're not allowed to use that at all.
Ah, for real?
For real.
Oh, that's difficult, dude. Because you want to use every, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and we've got categories. I mean, the younger you are,
yeah.
Like if you're under a certain age, under 14,
okay.
You can't strike to the head at all. We're trying to protect the athlete.
Of course, yeah. I mean, they're still young. They're still developing.
And if you're 10, it almost becomes almost like a wrestling match.
Yeah.
You're allowed to strike the legs.
But not necessarily, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so between the two of them, this matchup, the level that they're at right now, they're not allowed to use the elbow.
No, they are. They're definitely. They're pro.
All right.
You must understand, EFC is pro. So elbows are allowed, all that kind of story. Yeah. Okay.
So your money is on Rudy Roots.
100%.
Okay, I'm going to go check him out. I'm going to check him out.
Well, you're going to be at the show. Aren't you going to be there?
No, I'm going to be there.
You've got to be there.
Yeah, you will screen. Of course, damn it. you spoke about the fact that it's a little slow, and then you know we could do more as a community. Talk to us about that support. How can we, you know, the ordinary Namibian, help you with the growth and development of MMA in Namibia? We actually love MMA.
Yes,
it's perhaps maybe just a lack of awareness, isn't it?
I must be honest, it is. It's a way of awareness. A lot of people still have that. I wonder if I'm being a bit abrupt or rude. They have that mentality that we are two dogs fighting in a cage. We're far away from it, to be honest. I mean, you can win so many ways in MMA.
Yeah.
I mean, you can win in a submission, you can win in a choke, you can win in a strike, you can win on a technical knockout. True. So there's so many ways in winning. I mean, we've got about 80 to 90 to even more submissions to win.
Yeah, it's very technical. Yeah,
it's very, very technical. So that's why I keep on saying it's the human chess game. So if you know how to play chess, we do it obviously with our bodies. We play chess with MMA.
You constantly have to read your opponent, constantly have to protect yourself.
That's, and if you're in a clinch, there's submissions you can do. If you if you're on the ground, if you're on your back, there's submissions to do. There's strikes to do at the ground game. I mean, it's not just hooks and punches and uppercuts when you're on the ground. You got to modify those punches.
So if you're going to go in with that street mentality there, you know, that Kasi mentality, just going to swing it wild.
Yeah, good luck with that one, my brother. Good luck with that one. Smack, you know.
You can literally see it, man. Yeah.
I must be honest, it's hurtful.
Yeah.
It's hurtful. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the first time I came to Namibia, and it was in 2009, and I started walking around, and obviously I hanged out in a couple of these pubs and all that kind of story.
Yeah.
And you must remember, that time I was a bit younger and all that kind of story.
So you test the guns a little bit.
And the egos were up there. I must be honest, and I put it out there. Yeah. I've never, never started a fight. Ever.
Okay.
But goddamn, have I finished them.
Man. And they probably be surprised all the time. Yes, this freaking, you know.
they look at me, and the problem is they take my height.
Yes, that's because of then course. Then, obviously,
you know, the problem is you got a couple of these guys that, you know, they have brandy and coke. Or clippies and coke.
See, you know, so they stare at the manna, you know. They
Branavain. And they're Lestert, you the man was there, you know? And it was die-o. Come on, come on, come on. Bro, the problem is you can see those swings coming from a mile away, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, they I don't know why, but I mean, yeah, it's funny. I must be honest, I've had some incidents. It's nothing to brag about, but it's all the time. So I put it out there, put the guy knocked him out, and I asked him if I could take him home. And I drove him home.
Yeah,
I took him home.
Man to man, except you lost, my good sir.
Put him in his bed.
Yeah,
his wife was asking what the hell's going on. Oh, he just had a bit of an accident. He slipped down and he fell over. I'm just here to pick him up.
Man to man, protecting.
We've got that thing. Man, how are you getting on? Don't worry, bro. I'll get a tango or yango.
Yeah.
I'll make my way home.
Thank you.
Next morning, those guys phoned me, Chimbru. Thanks for bringing me home. and I'm going. My bro, it was me.
Exactly. Said, no. That knocked you out.
Yeah, but still, thank you for bringing me home.
Well, Carlos, thank you so much for your time, my good sir. We really appreciate you, and we're looking forward tomorrow, actually. Yeah, tomorrow. Yes. You know, the One Africa EFC Fight Night. And we wish you all the best. And obviously, your door is always open for new lighties if they want to try it out. Not just lighties, maybe also female athletes, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got two female athletes back on.
That's what I'm talking about.
I've posted it on there. I'm looking at more athletes, and there is athletes out there, ladies that can do it.
Yeah,
it's just that stepping stone that they need to come in. Obviously, the prices are quite hectic at the moment. I do charge a bit of money for it.
You do this all by yourself?
Yeah. Goodness. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get sponsors that can sponsor their payments.
And that's it. Oh, okay.
That's where I'm going with it. And obviously the sponsors walk onto it. So we're looking at that. I'm looking at it. I'm approaching banks and I'm approaching all the kind of stories.
Yeah.
We're trying to get, literally, we want sponsors to pay for their fees, for their training. Mm. That's all.
Okay.
We're reaching out, and this with One Africa, and you guys backing me up.
Mm.
We're definitely going to get it right.
We've got you, man.
Thanks.
Carlos de Sousa on your radio. Let's leave it at that. Thank you so much. 8:51 when we get back, we speak to Kavi.
Greener God.